Last time on Wanderlust.
All of us decided we needed to come together and talk about is, at some point, it's how best to involve the public in future matters to do with the wilds.
I would rather Smokey Banks be here and have to change than it not be here anymore. I just want you to know, it's not that I don't trust you in a situation like out here. I would just be worried for you, but I wanted to take the time to introduce you to some of what I do so that if you are like me and you just go out into the wild without asking other people, you're a little bit more prepared.
There's nothing going on that you need help with. Nothing of concern. Would you tell me if there was?
Yeah, I would.
I'm a little bit worried for you, because I don't think you asked for help enough, if being honest.
I will tell you if it turns out to be something that I'm more concerned about.
I was just wondering if you had had anybody do poetry, or if who I would talk to if I wanted to read poetry, I guess?
I actually do know of a few poets in town. They get together, there's like this cute little coffee shop, they all do readings, it's really fun. Fred, you make your way back that same trip you've made several times now, back to that mine. As you're looking up, you see a head lean over the fissure looking down at you. The eyes are glowing, a deep murky green, and you see more and more of those heads popping up along the fissure, and then you see them starting to come down the ladder.
I book it back to the ladder. Oh, they're coming down the ladder or coming down the side?
They're coming down the ladder.
Oh gosh, okay. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get into the facility and then shut and lock the door.
And you can hear what feels and sounds like branches clawing and tearing at this door as you hear impacts thunk, 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 thunk. You hear one scream at first, and then another, and then another, as Estelle, you look up, and just across where the river is, right, that runs by the market, you can see coming up out of the water these murky green glowing eyes. You hear sirens going off, like tables are knocked over, you hear shouting, and like the last thing you see before it turns into total pandemonium is Matthew just running towards one of these things.
Deep in that mining facility that you guys found in that ravine, Fred is quickly trying to craft himself a hammer out of the new metal that he has been making. That process is harrowing. You know, there's limited supplies, it's dark, it's a noisy room with dim lighting and this pounding of industrial machinery, and then over against the wall, you could see that door and still hear the consistent thump, thump, thump of arms and claws and roots slamming against that door. And Fred, I need a roll for crafting a hammer.
Didn't I already do that last time?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Then I'll do it this time. That is a 4.
Okay. So the way I'm going to treat this is basically the way we're doing these items. You get shift on a successful roll, essentially. And I'm going to say this will give you... Let me think about that. We're going to give one shift right now for that. Well, let's do two. And then we'll readdress it after this very narrow use case for this item is done. But for this initial scene, you get two shift. So You have this hammer ready to go. What does Fred do?
How is the battery on the little drone looking? The one that's holding the door shut for me?
Oh, yeah. Dwindling, but not gone. You could probably wait minutes up to an hour, maybe, but it is going to die eventually, and it's going to be not days.
Right.
Because it's having to work to keep this door shut. You know what I mean? It's, you know, like if you imagine an electric motor and you're basically running stall current through it all the time. So not only is that heating it up, it's burning the battery almost immediately.
Gosh, I don't know what to do. I think Fred would just wait. I think he would just kind of wait and let them come to him.
Like holding your action, basically?
Basically, yeah. Just kind of wait for the baddies to come after him.
Okay.
He doesn't have Autumn to protect him right now.
So Fred sits there and waits. Tell me about this hammer that you've made as you kind of are, you know, maybe sitting on the floor, leaning against a wall, anxiously playing with this thing. What does it look like?
So it is it is very basic. It is just like I almost think he didn't even have to like forge the shape of the hammer. It almost looks like he just drove a hole through the ingot and then mounted it on a stick.
Okay.
Like he got it secured so that it's a hammer, but it just looks like an ingot on a handle.
Gotcha. So this is kind of a horrible experience, right? You are sitting in this dark room alone, waiting basically to die with a poorly made hammer well beyond the help of your friends. And like I said, this thing was going to last minutes to an hour. So at the bare minimum, you're talking 30 minutes. This drone, you can see it shoving against the door and you can see like the display flickering and growing dimmer. You can't exactly read the text on it. It's still a little confusing, but it's a countdown. And you can make some guesses at how any numeric system works. That, you know, a digit fills and then overfills and fills and overfills, and that's counting backwards, right? As you're seeing the amount of charge this thing has left dwindling, right? And you have a long wait, sitting in the dark alone. What is Fred feeling in this moment as he can hear and feel and see the door starting to buckle and give, can see the drone starting to lose power, can smell that burning electronics?
I mean, I would say he's scared shitless, basically. Every other time he's been in the wilds, he's been around people that can help. And right now, like, he's also kind of thinking that if I were to die out here, nobody would know. So he's kind of terrified.
What's one thing Fred wishes he could change right now? Not necessarily like, I wish I wasn't here, you know, because but like, high level, is there like a regret, a thing that's like running through Fred's head? Like, why am I this? Why do I do this? Does that make sense?
Right. You mean that question you sent me in Discord that I had a not good answer to?
Kind of. Not exactly. I'll level with you. I was not necessarily expecting this exact situation. So we're rolling with what we got for character growth moments. Do you know when you've done something stupid and it's not like just wishing, I wish I hadn't done that specific thing. It's like, there's a thing about me now that I'm unhappy with. It's that. What's that in Fred's mind right now?
Okay, I kind of like this. He, right at this moment, he's wishing he wasn't forced to leave the city. That he hadn't been forced to come all the way out here and be putting himself in this kind of danger.
Oh, he like regrets coming to Smoky Banks?
Not specifically coming to Smoky Banks, but he regrets some of the decisions that he made that led up to him having to flee where he came from.
The city. Okay. The Symbiherb.
That's the thought you're chewing over when a little bit sooner than you expected, there's a mechanical crunching noise. You look over at the drone and you can see one of its wheels or one of its motors buckles, and that burning electronic smell fills the room as you just see smoke pouring out of it, and it sort of drifts lazily to the side as this door starts to push open, and slowly this drone is pushed to the side as arms with twisted claws that seem something in between bone, horn, and wood crushed through the metal. Arms twisted long and distended reach through, and faces that, although somewhat human, are themselves elongated, mouths yawning, and these eyes of this deep rotting green glowing in the darkness as the door just shoves its way slowly open. And you have that thought of, like, it's slow, right? Maybe they won't make it. Maybe they won't be able to push through. As inch by inch, you see this door creak open until finally one takes one step through, and you're like, nope, it's happening. What does Fred do?
Does it immediately charge him?
This is shuffle zombie territory, you know? They're not fast.
Okay.
But they're in the room. You know, this thing's dragging its way towards you. There's a stink of rot. You can see sappy, like, long, tendrily saliva pouring out of its yawned open, gaping mouth as this thing drags its way towards you, more behind it, more sets of those glowing eyes, distended mouths, and odd limbs shuffling into the room slowly with you.
I think the first thing Fred would do is he's gonna call out to him, like, "Hey, I don't want to have to fight you, but I will if I have to. You can't just leave and I won't attack." But
there is no response.
Okay, yeah, Fred will attack.
All right,
this is Hugo, right?
Is this one specifically Hugo, or is this one of the other ones?
You can roll me notice of some sort before you roll an attack.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay, that is a 5. I rolled +4 on the dice.
You can see Hugo in the back of the crowd. He's not the first one that pushed through, but he's there.
Okay. Yeah, I think Fred's going to attack the ones coming at him. He's going to try to not hit Hugo if he can avoid it, but if worse comes to worse and Hugo is standing in the way of him getting out of here or surviving, yeah, he'll attack. Gosh, I don't have anything good for attack.
I thought you did. I thought you had like
physique,
a...
physique or fighting. I have a 2. I guess it's a 2 in fighting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, that's a 3.
All right. So, Fred, you rush forward and swing with this hammer, and as soon as it hits the wood of these creatures, like, the weird new skin that is both a little bit too human skin-like, but it's all wrong, you know? You can tell this is not normal flesh, but it also doesn't look like wood. When it hits, it sinks in and cracks and decays around your hammer as one of these creatures falls. You swing again, another one falls. You swing again, and as you look off into this horde that is piled up into this ravine, you kind of have this realization of both, like, I'm doing well. These things are not fast. Eventually, I'm going to get tired. And there's a lot of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, how long can Fred stand here and split wood? Because it's going to be a while. That's where we're going to cut. We go back to town. Estelle, you were kind of front and center on what happened in town. This was a normal evening that you were having. I think, were you sitting there with... who were you? I can't remember. Were you with somebody, Estelle?
I think you said I was just having dinner with my parents.
Right. So you're having dinner with your parents. It's a normal evening. And then all of a sudden, screaming, you see someone get slashed by claws. Town goes into pandemonium. And you see Matthew running towards, you know, these creatures that have drugged themselves up out of the river into the market. What does Estelle do?
Okay. So first, I actually have 2 questions for you.
Shoot.
One, I just want a little bit of clarity on how human versus trees these creatures are.
I probably overuse the word trees. What it is their skin has taken on a wooden-ish appearance. They're very clearly human-derived, right? Their mouths are far too large, extended, these kind of, like, exaggerated, stretched-out, yawning mouths. Eyes glowing green, limbs are too long and spindly, and also kind of becoming more angular as that thicker, hardened skin is kind of settling in. They aren't uniform, so some of them might look slightly more human and some of them slightly less, but they are, what's the term that I'm looking for here?
Humanoid.
But they are humanoid. But clearly not normal, right? Like, there's something going on here.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so then my second question, does Estelle recognize any of them? Because people have gone missing from Smoky Banks before, so...
That is true.
I'm wondering if that is a possibility.
Make me a notice check.
Can I ask about someone specific for Estelle?
You can make a suggestion metagamey, yeah.
You should look for Otis.
I think right now she just wants to know if anybody.
Let me say this:
jumps out
if Otis is in this crowd and you roll well, you'll notice that.
Yeah,
that would be something that I would point out specifically.
Yeah, I would say she's not looking for anyone specific, but I'm curious if from like her observing everything, if any of them jump out to her as somebody who is from Smoky Banks. Okay, yep. I'm going to roll with Inquisitive.
It's cool. Roll it up.
Nope, that's a zero.
You can't recognize any distinct, really, traits of anyone in any of these people.
Yeah. Okay, but I still recognize that they are still very human.
Ish, yeah.
Human-ish. Man, something's got our dogs very upset upstairs. Okay, so I think Estelle is going to, because she sees Matthew running towards this horde, too.
Yeah, and I'll say at this point that's sort of lost in the fray. You know, it's, you saw Matthew running towards this horde, and then it was pandemonium. People are running, they're screaming, the like, you know.
Okay, so I think Estelle's first instinct is she's going, I'm going to extrapolate a little bit here, and I'm going to say that her and her parents were sitting in an area that had some kind of, like, fire for light, whether that was, like, you know, a big bonfire outside or, like, a little, like, I don't know, candle in a restaurant type thing. And she is going to grab some, like, a stick or something and light that on fire, and she's going to run after Matthew.
Okay, so you start to run forward, and as you do, you hear alarm horns going off, and then you kind of, like, turn around and see running from behind you a group of, like, 20 young people from the ages of, like, 16 to 22 that all have on, like, little vests, you know? They're carrying sticks with ropes around the ends of them, like, for catching animals, and they're, like, running in a block formation straight up, and you can see, like, what was Matthew's thing, like, disaster marshal, you know, they all have, like, goofy ranks like that, but it's, like, disaster sergeant, disaster lieutenant, just a ton of them that all just run in and start engaging with this horde. Like, half of them break away and start trying to shoo people out of the market. The other half are there trying to, like, detain and fight off zombies. As you start pressing forward with this torch and the rope that you gathered, you can see Matthew's kind of by himself and is, like, armed himself with whatever he could find, which is chef's knives and, you know, a chair. And is trying to bat these things off of diners who weren't able to get out quick enough. It is, like, dragging people back. What do you want to do?
Estelle's going to get up closer to him. And she's going to start sweeping the torch in front of her, like in as wide of like a 180 as possible to try and get them to back up, because I am really hoping that because they're tree people, they don't like fire.
Roll me some kind of attack for that.
Could I say CrossFit?
Definitely.
Okay, that is a 4.
Okay, so as you rush forward, this scene devolves into pandemonium pretty quickly. There are way more of these things than you would like there to be. An uncomfortable number, right? It's more than 5. As you look out, you can, you know, count the 10 of them that are in front of you, and there's just more eyes and more eyes and more eyes. Fortunately, as you rush forward and start trying to just fend off with this torch, it clearly works. You can see that when the torch hits some of them will burst into flame like dried wood. Some of them it hits and just leaves burns on skin that isn't quite wood-looking yet. But all of them seem uncomfortable, right? You can see creatures backing away. Some of them just turn and run in fear. But even with the help of, you know, Matthew's disaster response and Matthew himself trying to fight things off, you can see that you're not winning the marketplace, right? You're kind of holding the majority of the horde away from Matthew, but as you look around, you know, it's a limited number of people that are here responding. Most people that aren't actively now involved in this fight have run, but like, Matthew's looking beat up. You can see cuts on him from where he's like taking scrapes. He's looking haggard as he's trying to fight these things off of himself. At this point now, it's not about getting non-combatants out of a fight. It's just you and Matthew trying to defend your lives while the rest of the disaster response is trying to engage with the rest of this horde. And this is looking grim as you feel yourself losing footing and getting pushed back. You keep feeling things grabbing at your feet or from behind you as you're getting boxed in and pushed kind of closer to Matthew, who's still just like pushing things off with a chair and stabbing. You can see his like knives are breaking, as these are not meant to be stabbing into creatures made of solid wood. Meanwhile, further back in the market, Autumn, you and Willow were having a very nice date. And by that I mean you'd found a secluded place to make out. It's a really distracting thing to feel someone's arms wrapped around you and to kind of be lost in your own world, you know, maybe in some nice light. You can hear soft music coming from the market. And it takes a little bit longer than you think it should to realize, like, there's a lot of people running. Is that screaming? And then you hear an alarm horn going off. What does Autumn do?
She's going to rush out and see what's going on.
Okay, so you rush out, and I'll say that you're sort of further away from the river than Estelle was, and you, right now, basically, you just see a horde of people running towards you, right? This is just all of the citizens of Smoky Banks running away from the river.
Well, she'll loudly say, Teddy, what's going on?
When you say that, a builder beetle digs its way out of the ground and just sits on the surface next to you and stares at you. Its face is purple and, oh shoot, hang on. Gotta go back to looking up my frickin' gotta get my bug dictionary out. Yeah, but you told me this was coming, so this is only my fault, so. Yeah, so its face is purple and it's making a descending melody as it stares up at you.
What does descending melodies mean?
It means a statement. And purple means hostile.
Okay. Yeah, I remember the colors more so. And I'm sure Autumn like kind of has the basics.
Yeah, downward gliss is an answer. Like, not a question.
Alright, so it looks like fighting. Can you use builder beetles to restrain whatever's attacking? She says loudly to the air again.
The builder beetle is still just staring at you, its face purple, playing descending notes, because Teddy is not here, and that's all builder beetles can do.
Do I know the notes to, like, make a builder beetle explode?
You can make a roll. You can certainly try.
Cool. I'm gonna grab the builder beetle and run the direction the people are running from. I got a glue bomb.
Make me some kind of notice check.
Oh, man. That'll be a zero.
Okay. You sprint off towards the, you know, basically in the opposite direction of the crowd, bear hugging this builder beetle, which is not any small thing. It's like two big sacks of flour, right? That you've bear hugged and are toddling, you know, off towards, you know, whatever commotion this is, right? As you're running, you see a troop of young people all in like disaster vests carrying those, you know, sticks with the hoops on them that you could use to restrain animals run past you in formation. You hear shouting, you can hear Guffy barking, and you kind of finally get through the crowd, right? So the crowds run past you, you now have a clear sight, and you just see utter chaos, right? There's young people with hooks trying to detain these distended mouth, half wooden looking creatures with these rotten green eyes. There's a powerful stench hitting you. It seems to have gotten darker here for some reason. Like, there's this yawning darkness behind them that feels like it's almost coming with them as they came up out of the river. Oh, and then, like, yeah, on one edge of the fight, you can see Matthew and Estelle basically pressed back to back by this crowd, barely fending things off. Both of them are covered in cuts and bruises at this point. What does Autumn do?
Can I chuck the builder beetle at the ones attacking attacking Estelle and Matthew?
Yes.
So, athletics?
Athletics to throw, yeah.
Five.
So, it's a really good throw, man. You nail it. So, I'll say, like, Estelle gets knocked to the ground, right, and is about to get dogpiled, and then a 50-pound chitinous boulder, basically, just slams over her head, knocking a bunch of these things over. You can see limbs snapping as you hear these sickening crunches and pops of, you know, what feels like wooden balloons filled with juice smashing on the ground and exploding everywhere. That same, like, glowing green bioluminescence in their eyes, that deep, dark, kind of rotten green, splatters on the ground as this builder beetle crashes into them.
Can I try to have it explode?
You can. You can make a roll for that. I will say, this is extremely hard.
I mean, why would I not try to make it explode, though? Like,
I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying it's extremely difficult.
Can I use my lore? Because I've been working with them.
I'll give it to you.
Come on. Four.
So you make a random collection of, like, pops and whistles that you feel like you've heard Teddy make before, and you try to, like, smear some colors on your face, and then the builder beetle just starts fighting whatever's next to it because it has some basic self-preservation.
If you're being a walking concrete bomb, it has self-preservation.
It does. I mean, it does. It's an animal, so, you know, if something's killing it and it's not told otherwise, it won't just lay there and die.
That was worth a shot.
All right, what else is Autumn doing?
Is there like a tent pole or something? Or something, like a stick or something sharp or something? Can she arm herself and then go help Matthew and Estelle?
Definitely.
What's in the market? Do they have like tent stalls there?
Yeah, there's tent stalls, there's permanent buildings, there's, you know, any number of random things, yeah.
Okay, I grab like a tent pole with that has like a quarter round.
Sure.
So she has like the equivalent of like a bow staff.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I wish I was rolling better is what I wish. Four.
Okay, so you kind of enter this melee and it is bleak. You thought, oh, these builder beetles showing up, man, that's going to come in clutch. This is going to work. And then it does not. You know, this builder beetle is killed almost immediately. It's low to the ground. It weighs less than these things and there's 10 of them, right? And that's all it takes. You're quickly pressed into a mob with Estelle and Matthew, who are still just barely holding on. At this point, you look over and you can see that a lot of the disaster response is laying on the ground with cuts and scrapes and, like, blunt impact trauma on them. Some of them are trying to crawl away. A lot of them are just beaten up and on the ground. And you know, it's like that moment of realization of like, oh, this is not gonna go, like, we're not winning this. This is very bad. Meanwhile, over at the lighthouse, Juliet, you've just been given a giant stack of poetry by a weird old man, and you hear screams and alarms from the marketplace. What do you do?
I rush to the window. That I assume that there's, like, obviously, like, a big lookout over the ocean, because it's a lighthouse, but that there is also a lookout towards the town and the wilds, like, the other direction. So I rush to that.
Yeah, so if you're maybe halfway up, there'd be windows, or you could go all the way to the top, you know, whatever. Let's say you have a good vantage point. So you look out over the town, and you can see this odd darkness creeping over the river, and spots of green light way far down. You can see people running from it. You can hear screaming. You know, nothing in exact detail, but, you know, you can see, like, fighting happening down there, right? People are tiny, but, you know, you can see people clashing far down as these weird things start pouring out of the water over the marketplace.
Okay. Julia is going to rush back to Reuben. Because I had, like, started going down, right?
Yeah.
So she's going to rush back up to him and, like, rush back through the door and say, Reuben, there's an emergency down there. What sort of lenses or mirrors do you have here?
Reuben kind of, like, scratches his chin and goes, well, come with me and I'll show you what I have. And he, like, goes down into a basement under this place and starts digging through trunks of, and I mean, this place is a pack rat's nightmare, right? It is horrifying, right? It is just wall-to-wall random junk. And all of it is caked in dust. It's random tools, it's documents, papers, everything. He goes, you know, back in my days, I did used to have an interest in reflecting lunar light, and I had this kit of lenses and concentrators that you could use for, you know, lunar defense as we did in days of old. And I always thought you should never throw anything away. So, and he gives you, like, this trunk of these, like, dusty old mirrors and lenses and stuff that he just kind of had laying around because he's a pack rat and has everything.
All right, this will do just great. Help me carry it up the stairs.
You know, he grabs one end and puts a cigarette in his mouth, lifts it up and starts kind of trotting after you as you make your way up.
Yeah, so we get to the top, and she's just gonna start unpacking things with an idea of, like, trying to set up, like, their previous light defense systems, like, with lasers, since that is what the eco herbs used to use when there was, like, when more offensive
skirmishes and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Skirmishes were happening. So she's just going to try to put something together and shine it out the window that's facing.
Roll me some kind of check for that.
Well, I have mathematics.
I'll take it.
What a very practical skill for what you're about to do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever rolled it before. So that's a one.
Like, total, that's a one?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
You got it. A for effort.
So, this takes a long time. It's not that you fail at doing this. It's that setting up the necessary equipment to concentrate and reflect lunar rays into some kind of deadly laser is not a quick feat, right? That takes time. And in so doing, you have this horrible feeling of this has taken too long, right? As you're putting this together, you know, way down in Smoky Banks, a melee does not take that long. It doesn't take tens of minutes for it kind of to be decided one way or the other. And you just have to keep focusing as the clock's running in your brain. And you kind of know, like, this is another hurt person. This is another dead person. This is another part of my home destroyed. This is a failure. Until you finally, like, get it, crack the lens, and start, like, tracing these lunar rays back and forth across the bank of the river. way far back down in Smoky Banks, this fight goes on a long time, and it's pretty grim.
Would one say tens of minutes?
Yeah, which is a long time to be body-to-body fighting creatures made of wood. No one looks good after this. Autumn, you have obvious, like, cuts, bruises. You're like, I definitely have some broken ribs. You know, you're bleeding from slashes across all over your body. None of them deep enough to necessarily be lethal. Guffy is, like, favoring a paw and whining as he's still just trying to, like, keep these things away from Estelle and Matthew. Matthew's probably faring the best just simply because he is younger and able to kind of bounce back, but even he's, like, limping, has obvious cuts and bruises. Estelle, you can barely stand. Just the effort of still remaining upright after this is pretty brutal. And right when whatever weapons you guys grab broke, you're like, we're done. Like, that's it. We're now just shoving these things away. A opalescent white beam cuts across the bank. Not necessarily really close to you, but far enough to, like, draw a boundary where there aren't things getting through anymore as this, like, blinding white light starts bouncing back and forth from the lighthouse. And you can now see an end to the horde as you're just now managing to, like, shove the last few into the laser. And there's, like, a moment of quiet and then a fluttering of wings, and Teti lands next to Autumn.
I would like to say that I am sorry. You seem to have been hurt quite a bit in my absence.
Yeah. Yeah, we're good. We're
You're not. There are many, many, many of these things, and they are still coming. I was far away and had to reach you. I'm not that fast.
That's fine. I think I'm fine. Ow.
You are not. But that will be addressed later. What can I do now?
Are there more in the... I think we're good. Are we good? Are they done? Like, do we see any more?
No. There's just, like, a line where they're now getting killed, sort of, but that is by no means a permanent solution. The river's full of these things.
The river's full of them? Is there, like, an end? Like, do we see the end of the wave, or is it just...
You're at ground level and looking into, like, pitch darkness. You have no idea.
You got any builder beetles that can restrain and or kill these things? Would probably be good.
I could build a wall around this area of the river and maybe set some builder beetles to explode.
That would probably be good. Yeah, do that.
As you say that, you kind of, like, collapse to the ground as you see builder beetles starting to, like, ripple through the ground and start to quickly try to form, like, a barrier beyond where that laser was shining. And you can see, yeah, like, as soon as, like, you can see just beyond the laser, you can see builder beetles popping on these creatures that are still pouring out of the water and sealing them in, like, this bug concrete. And there's, like, a moment of calm for a minute as you guys all take a breath and kind of reel. So basically, the way this will have gone, and I need to look at character sheets here to tell you the amount of strain that you've taken. So you said you rolled a 1, right, Juliet?
Yep.
Boy. I'm gonna say this works in bands, and Juliet really wasn't much worse than you guys, given the way the bands work out.
I'm sad the bands are so big, you know, the difference between a 1 and a 4.
Yeah, but basically what happened is there were 3 instances here where you took 2 physical strain. So that would be a total of 6.
Ouch.
The way this would work out is, let me divvy this up differently. Sorry. So Juliet, you wouldn't take any because you weren't there. So Estelle, you would take, yeah, a total of 6 physical strain, which is in 3 installments of 2, which means you could mark off 2 physical stress, 3 physical stress, and take a mild consequence.
I mean, I guess that's what I have to do. So yeah. Yep.
And then Autumn, same thing. So I think that you could just mark off 2, 3, and 4 basically and take nothing. Yeah. So now you're kind of just in the aftermath of that. There's still like screaming. You look around, there are tons of injured people like laying on the ground. Some of them are up and moving. A lot of them are just like laying bleeding on the ground. What does everybody do?
Stahl reaches over to Matthew, like reaches over and grabs his shoulder. Are you okay?
He looks at you and goes, no, definitely not okay, but I think I might be the least not okay at the moment. And then he just kind of like brusquely starts shoving past you and starts going over to like the disaster response and is trying to help like triage the worst people and like figure out who's the most wounded and is like doing hasty first aid.
Estelle's going to join him in that since she has, even though it's, you know, she has a background with animals, she can do mild triage.
As soon as you get over, he just goes, all right, mom, what I'm going to need you to do, and he just starts, like, pointing out the most hurt people and goes just, like, focus on stopping bleeding. If they can't move, just we'll leave them here for now. We'll start getting people with stretches. There should be another wave of volunteers coming with them here in a minute. There's people that were willing to, you know, get into the fray, and there's people that weren't. The support people should be up soon, and we'll start getting them carried to the med center. But for now, just try to help him stop bleeding. And then he just, like, falls on the ground.
Okay. Estelle, like, make sure that he is, like, breathing first.
He is, and as soon as you check on me, he goes, Mom, I told you, check on those three over there that are bleeding worse than me.
She, wants to argue, but, pats him on the shoulder and goes, you got it. And she'll go over to the ones that are bleeding the worst and start working on them.
As you're working, you can see that there is, like, another wave of volunteers that are, like, starting to bring in stretchers and stuff like that. They're also wearing, like, the same disaster response vests as the group that came in and got the crap kicked out of them. Willow, what are you doing?
You mean
not
Autumn?
Willow.
Autumn, that, gosh darn it, I am sorry. Autumn, what are you doing?
So, Teddy, do we have any bugs that can fly?
Yes, me. I can fly.
Are you the only one?
That is correct.
Your beetle network, how fast can it relay information to you?
Not instantaneously and not in explicit detail, but pretty quickly. I can't literally see what they see, but I can be told the builder beetle's impression. Imagine if you were to ask one of your babies what is happening in a room. It would be kind of like that.
So a lot of whys, then.
Builder beetles know not to ask why.
Can they check to see if this is happening anywhere else in the town, or if it's just here?
Yes, hang on. And then you see Teddy just, like, you've seen him do this before, and it's a little bit disconcerting, where he holds perfectly still and just makes weird noises, and his body just kind of vibrates and his face changes colors rapidly. And then he looks back at you and goes, yes, this is happening other places as well, but it seems to have been contained.
All right, so we don't need to run off anywhere else. This wall seems pretty sturdy, I think. Does it look like it, like, anything's trying to push through, or does it look...
No, at this point, the, like, pops of builder beetles exploding as these things touch them is slowing down.
Okay. So Autumn breathes for a second and is like, oh my god, Willow! And she'll go try to find Willow.
So you turn and start running, make me some kind of, you know, find a person check.
Athletics?
Nope.
How about perception?
That'll work.
4.
So you find her pretty quickly. I'll say this is maybe the combination of, you know where you left her and you had a pretty good sense where she would probably run to, which is
the radio tower.
Yeah, which is the radio tower. As you start running towards the radio tower, you see that there is clearly destruction around the radio tower. There are bodies of these things laying around. It does not look great. And you kind of shoulder your way through the door as you get right up to it. And when you come through the doorway, you have this moment of, you're used to, like, you have, like, a danger sense to you, right? You know, you're used to being in burning buildings, and you have that, like, spidey sense of, a beam's about to fall on my head, and you duck, as Sheriff Mitchell just swings like a fireman's axe into the door above your head. And he just goes, oh, and kind of sits back down. I'm going to take by the fact that you are here that this is over.
It's as far as I know.
I
also, hello?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
I thought, you know, you say Smoky Banks is known for its hospitality, but I mean, this doesn't feel very hospitable.
You know,
talking about the axe, for the record, not the not the proverbial Blighthound being let out of the bag.
Sorry about the axe, but, you know, it's been a rough evening, as you might imagine.
She, like, looks down and, like, chuckles, like, huh, yeah.
But, no, I don't, what did you say? Oh, right. No, this is not typically how we greet new guests, I guess. And then he just kind of, like, laughs and sits down and goes, where did you just come from?
The market?
Oh, and then he kind of laughs and goes, you should probably go talk to Willow then.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
And he just like points into like the radio room.
Yeah, I'll go there.
So when you walk into the radio room, you see like a very frazzled Willow trying to like click on her communication system. And you can like clearly see that there's wires unplugged from it. She has like four finger scratch across her face. And looks like something has hit her in the arm and she's kind of limping and she looks up at you and goes, you know, I'm not totally used to getting stood up on dates, but I've never actually been ditched in the middle of a full crisis situation. That's actually never happened to me.
Autumn just goes and hugs her.
She hugs you back and goes, I'm going to assume that you ran straight towards the danger and then you yourself probably also got pretty badly hurt.
I might have broken a rib. This hug actually really hurts, but I think it's worth it still.
She kind of like pushes you back and goes, all right, let me look at you. What happened?
Well, these weird tree zombie things were coming out of the river?
Yeah, they were pouring across the gardens too when I ran my way over here.
That's like on the opposite side of town.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of these.
Says Juliet's voice from the back of Autumn's head. Juliet really just like hit the jackpot of being at the only place they weren't, apparently.
Very tall structure, an isolated one, yeah.
It's good because she's squishy.
But, yeah, Teddy said there were a lot of events.
Yeah, I was trying to make an announcement and I think I kind of got freaked out and they were very grabby, and then Mitchell showed up, and he started axing them like crazy, and then we came here, and he started barricading doors, and I ran in here, and then you showed up, and I really... Did he try to cut your head off?
It was pretty close, yeah.
Well, I'll say you deserved that, and then I'm going to forgive you for leaving me in the middle of a horrible crisis.
In my defense, I didn't think it was everywhere.
She grabs your face and goes, what is the point of dating you if I do not have my own personal bodyguard?
My good looks. And you seem to like the kissing before I ran off.
That's good. I need 100% of the Autumn package, right? Good kissing, good bodyguard. I don't like getting into fights. It's really absolutely not my thing. You seem to love it, because you also seem way too cheerful.
It's like one of my books.
She just kind of like lets go of your face and goes, I'm not in a book! And then like plugs in the intercom and like hits it and starts making announcements about like if you're wounded, where to go, you know, stuff like that.
Autumn does that thing where you like lean back, you're like, oh, there's a wall here, and there's not a wall there, and just falls to the ground.
You see Willow kind of like look over the thing.
She just like sticks one's arm up with a thumbs up.
Hits thing. If you're wounded, please report to the medical center where you can find treatment. If you cannot get yourself there, yell for help. And she looks over at you. All right. And just keeps making announcements. All right. Is there anything else that anyone wants to do?
What's Juliet doing?
Can I try to roll better for killing zombies?
Nope. That ship sailed.
So is it like done? Or is there still waves coming?
I mean, you're not in immediate danger anymore.
Okay. I guess like she would keep doing it as long as there were things coming out of the river.
Okay.
If there's no longer things coming out of the river, then I don't know where she would go. I guess she would probably go to the market, because if she can hear like Willow's announcements, she would probably go and see if there's people who need help getting to the medical center, because she's like, well, I'm not wounded, and that's probably rare.
Yep.
So I should be helpful.
Okay, so you head down. I mean, you see the scene that I've already described. I don't think I need to re-describe it again.
Yeah.
There is a really putrid smell of decay in the whole town at this point.
Okay.
There are so many of these like shattered bodies that were filled with this sort of luminescent green goo just poured out all over the market. It's like washed in the stuff. It smells horrible. There's blood splattered on the ground. There's still some people like laying there. And yeah, you just start trying to help move people. You have like a little bit of biology knowledge. I would say like enough for someone to be like, put pressure here, you know?
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is make me some kind of like science-y notice check.
I have notice, investigate, and research.
Make me a research check.
Juliet's such a nerd.
Two.
Okay, you're going to make a choice right now, right? This is a choice. This is a choice about Juliet.
Okay.
So you're in like this medical tent at this point that's been set up. Basically, what you're doing right now is trying to help stabilize one of the worst wounded people. So it wasn't one of the volunteers that came to try to help fight off the zombies. It also wasn't one of the volunteers that came to carry people away. It was just someone who was like sitting closest to the river and basically got dogpiled.
Okay.
And it was like the first one that Matthew drug out before he, you know, got into the fight, right?
Yeah.
As you're like trying to bandage wounds, because at this point, like, blood loss is the biggest issue, and making sure that they don't have, like, serious internal damage, you're, like, wrapping bandages around these big tears in their skin that are, like, pretty deep and pretty grisly. You can see where, like, they've just been stomped, you know? There's broken bones. And as you're wrapping, like, or changing out one of their dressings, you notice that right around the edge of one of the cuts is like the flesh is starting to like harden a little bit, and you have like a moment of curiosity, and you can kind of choose now to continue investigating and expose yourself to danger. You'll learn some stuff, or you can like back away and think about what this might mean.
I think she would think that's weird and she would poke at it.
So you start poking at this, right? And as you do, that smell of rot intensifies strongly, right? And you start feeling lightheaded as you look deep into this cut and you see that flesh starting to change, starting to turn this weird kind of brownish color. It kind of like draws you in, right? There's this horrible scent. And you know when you stare at something, you almost feel like you're zooming in on it, right? Like you're seeing smaller and smaller details of this fine tear in this skin, and you can see right on the edge where it's turning into something else, and you just keep looking deeper, and you feel this like buzzing in your ears, and you have that again, that powerful stench, and you feel like you're back in the forest again. It's hard to tell where you are as you're just drawn deeper and deeper, and then an arm reaches up and grabs you by your wrist, and you feel nails biting into your skin as this person that you're looking at, their eyes pop open, this luminous green color, and they just start screaming as you wrench yourself backwards and take, you know, one strain as you feel this scratch on your arm as this person just starts screaming and like convulsing in front of you as that woody kind of changed their skin starts to spread over that wound that you were trying to dress.
Okay. Are they like thrashing?
Yeah.
Okay. She's gonna try to restrain them. I don't know if there's like gurney straps or something like that
mm-hmm.
that she could use for that.
Yeah, so you start trying to strap this person down, and eventually, like, that subsides, and then they're just kind of, like, left there panting as that tear across them is now almost entirely that same, like, textured wood that these creatures that attacked the town are.
Okay. What does her scratch look like?
Just a scratch right now.
She's gonna clean that really fast.
Cool. So you rush over and start cleaning your wound quickly, and we're gonna cut back to deep in a ravine. Fred, you wake up on the ground in a pool of blood.
Oh, okay. Is it my blood?
Well, so you have that question, right? Like, is this my blood? And yeah, you have lacerations all over you. You know, there's cuts on your face. There's cuts all over your body from, like, tears and scratches. You feel like, yeah, probably you have some broken bones. It's not good. You are very hurt. As you kind of, like, hobble your way up to your feet, you look around you, and there are smashed wooden bodies everywhere, right? Like, you can see how far you got through this ravine, just swinging your hammer. That hammer that you made is broken on the ground next to you. You like, look down at your hands, and you can see that your knuckles are all torn up, where you at some point just reverted to punching, and you have, like, flashes of this as you can kind of remember snippets of this fight that you had that you're sort of hazily remembering.
Well, then. So, like, I mean, like, what's... You said stuff's probably broken. Can I walk?
It hurts, but yeah, you can kind of hobble.
And it's, like, a couple miles back to town.
It's a couple miles back to town.
Okay. I'm going to try to climb the ladder and get out of this ravine.
That process is long and painful. I'm not going to make you roll for it simply because it's one of those things where, you know, failing is just you have to try again. Like, you have to get out of this ladder. And getting out is definitely, like, you feel yourself slipping a few times. You can kind of feel yourself swimming in and out of consciousness as you're like, I'm few liters short of what's supposed to be in me, you know, as you can kind of feel slightly woozy. The smell of these creatures is nauseating almost to the point of making you throw up as you climb your way to the top of this ravine. And when you do, you, like, pull yourself onto the edge and you lay down, like, trying to catch your breath, which is not easy to do.
So, a couple things I want to do. Like, one, I probably should have / would have, but maybe he didn't think of it until he got up. He's basically just going to rip up his shirt and make tourniquets for anything that needs it.
Yeah, so you're just trying to staunch bleeding, yeah.
Yeah, and then also, do I remember that there's, like, some trees up here at the top of this ravine?
There would be, yeah.
If he has the strength for it, he wants to try to make splints for... Or at least a splint for the leg that's worse.
So you start snapping branches and trying to make yourself a splint. And as you're doing this, you hear footsteps behind you.
He'll turn around. Like, I mean, he's not going to fight. He can't fight anything right now.
You turn around and you see the forest phantom walking towards you. This is odd because kind of before she is sort of slithered, and this time her form is far more defined as she's walking on two legs, far more smoothly, her movements less rigid and popping and now sort of freely moving almost like you would expect an animal to. Her body is still covered and almost made of like leaves and wood. Her face is very well defined and now to the point of almost looking real and has two glowing green eyes as she walks slowly towards you and sits down.
You are near death.
I've seen better days.
I don't know that you have. You survived. That might make this your best day.
I suppose that's one way of looking at it.
I believe it is the only way of looking at it. You should be dead and are not. You survived this place. Something to be proud of, I think.
I gotta ask, though. Is this you? Did you cause this?
She smiles and goes, "You think of things as having wills, as if I am some puppet master in these woods throwing things at you for my amusement. I am as much up to the whims of this place as you and anyone else are. It is not made for us, and it does as it will. But it is a challenge, and it will change you. Are you afraid, Fred?"
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't.
"That is good. Fear can keep you alive, but it can also freeze you in a moment, cause you to hesitate, and that can kill you. It can make you run, or it can make you fight. And I know you can fight."
"So what do you want? What do you like?"
I live here. I am of this place and you are not. But the longer you spend here, eventually you will be. It changes you. Not into me necessarily, but we will grow more similar. I live here. I don't send death. I don't send predators on prey, but I watch. And I grow, and I change, and you will have to too, or you will die, or become something else. You can either choose to, grow with the wilds, or you can try to hide from the fact that you are changing, but at some point it will become inevitable. What do I want, I think was your question. I merely watch. I find it amusing. That seems cruel maybe to you, but understand, on a large enough scale, what you represent is a change to this place as much as it is a change to you. And those changes are beautiful, and they can be horrifying, but they are intoxicating."
I'm sorry, I think I might have zoned out there. See, I'm kind of bleeding out in lots of places. It kind of gets a little laugh because it was a long-winded speech.
She smiles and goes, "You will bleed more."
That's not ominous.
It should be. This place makes us bleed. It is not friendly. It is not easy. It will kill you if you are not careful. But you can fight. As she smiles, you see that she kind of like leans away from you and turns around and starts to walk away.
Well, one more question before you go. Were you more like me, like us? Were you human once, or whatever we call ourselves?
She smiles and goes, "I have never called myself human, but I've also never called you human." And she disappears into the forest.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.